All right, thank you, Pastor Dan. Yeah, we went to church way back when I first got married. And what a wonderful thing. I met my wife in China and brought her here, and what a culture shock. I don't know if any of you were born in China and you moved to the United States, but whew, what a shock. She's like, "There's no people here. I look out the window and I see a car fly by, but I don't see any people. You know, what is this place?" And well, you know, we got married and it was went well for a long time, and you know, started having kids and family and conflicts and things like that. And I really credit the church for blessing my marriage. So, and if she were here, she'd probably say the same thing. I wish she could be here, but she's busy doing her things. She works, volunteers at the church, doing an assortment of stuff, and she teaches Chinese in the afternoon. I don't know if any of you were forced to go to Chinese school when you guys were teenagers so you could speak the mother tongue, call up grandma, and ask her how she's doing in Chinese. Yes. So anyway, so it's a pleasure to be here. I see a lot of familiar faces. It's a wonderful thing. And being in church, you know, we're of one mind. We're of one accord when we come together. Even though we don't know each other, you know, we kind of have a similar mindset, a similar worldview. So we're one step closer in familiarity than most people are out in the secular world. If you're in the secular world, I gotta like, who are they? Maybe they're some kind of weird person or something like that. But in Christianity, hey, you know, we have some common denominator there. So anyway, that's my profile. You know, this is my Instagram version. All the good stuff I'm going to show in my social media. You'll be wow. Oh, wow, that guy's he's all that. But what hides behind the pretty pictures there? Oh, by the way, the little bit shorter one, he's a UVA grad, so you know, I spent many trips to Charlottesville already and been around the grounds. I know that's what y'all these weird words, like a cult. So this is the pretty picture. And about my background, you think, oh man, that's a guy who's super close to God. Well, that too is also kind of fake. The life of a Christian is hard. There's a lot of setbacks and disappointments, things you do to yourself, you regret, I would say. And I have lots of regrets. I got saved at a young age, but I did a lot of things that weren't very Christian-like. So I have a lot of regrets. Even today, I'll think of something. I have to ask God to forgive me. And I've actually sent gift cards to some people out of the blue after decades. Like, oh, what's Brian? Yeah, he was my lived in my neighborhood. Why is he sending me a gift card? Well, you know, I said, well, I didn't treat you so nice back in the day. I'm sorry. So like, okay, I don't remember, but you know, maybe they got the gift card and got a steak dinner. So anyway, that's a little bit about me, and it kind of segues right into what we're going to talk about today is getting closer to God. So that's the pretty picture Instagram version, but you know, there's a lot of background there, things that I learned that weren't very productive, things that I learned in church that weren't very conducive to a healthy Christian life. And there's been times when, you know, after I pursued all the things of life, you guys are young, y'all are looking forward to your family. You got a checklist, right? You know, I'm going to get a degree, I'm going to get married, I'm going to have some kids, and then my life will just flow out of wonderfulness. And you know, I went down that journey. It wasn't always so wonderful. You find out that God provides all the things of value that we need in our lives. All that stuff kind of was, it was nice, but it, you know, it kind of fizzled out after a while. And what we need is, what God provides us is the substantial background for everything that we do. So, you know, as I went older in life, I had a lot of hang-ups and things I learned, and kind of immaturity, I would say, in my life. And, you know, let's look at some of the people in the Bible here that, you know, had an experience with God where they needed to get closer for different reasons. You know, Abraham, I think he believed in the one true God. He moved to a land that God showed him. He didn't believe in the plethora of pagan gods. He knew that there was one true God, and he probably prayed out loud. We don't know. It's not recorded, but God showed him to move, and he picked up all his stuff and moved to current-day Israel. God had a plan for his life. It's a wonderful story. David, all these are wonderful stories. David had a prolific prayer life in the Bible. He had a terrible background as a kid. He had some bright moments. He slew some lions and giants and things like that, all in a day's work as a shepherd. But you know, he had some things, but that were against him. But God worked with him, and he became a great example for us. And in Daniel, we know about the Daniels. So there's a couple here already. So we see in the life of Daniel, he prayed at an open window, as I recall the story. And you know, people heard him praying. And I got put in the lion's den for that. But God backed him up and sustained me even through that. So, and as Isaiah, you know, he's crying to intercede for himself and his people. You know, he's making a prayer to God to say, hey, God, take me to the next level. I want to level up, like in Xbox, you know. So, So we see a few people. I'm sure there's more. And my favorite is Zacchaeus, because this was like a Sunday school lesson when I was a kid. He wanted to get close to God. What did he do? He's a short little dude. He wanted to climb a tree. For a little guy like me during Sunday school, I was like, climb a tree? I'm down with that, man. Show me the tree. I want to get close to God, too. That sounds like fun. So anyway, that's stories of people we read in the Bible, maybe we can take some advice from. But some of these stories are kind of situational, and maybe they don't apply to our lives. How would you, in your mind, how would you get close to God if you, you know, wanted to connect strongly to God? Because I think in my life, I wanted to get closer to God because I kept doing all these kind of silly failures. You know, I'm a person who doesn't like to have to suffer through problems and fail and hurt relationships. I don't want to deal with all that. But that was the fruit of having perhaps a less than adequate relationship with God. I mean, that's the kind of the fruit we have, you know. Well, we're saved. God loves us and all the good stuff, but you know, how do we practice it in the real world? I think that's where having a less than adequate relationship with God causes. So anyway, let's move on. So I would say, out of all those people, the attempt to get closer to God or pray to God or to use prayer as a tool for change is a kind of a common thing. And what would you know? I mean, this is kind of a 101 kind of stuff, that prayer is our vehicle. It's our telephone. It's our communications means to God. So no surprise there. So like, well, what's into this prayer business? What can I do? So yeah, prayer is throughout the Bible. You might get the hint that prayer is a powerful thing for the life of a believer. And and so after, you know, into my adult life and kind of squared away some of the baggage from my background and things, I realized that prayer was my biggest deficit. I realized that my prayer life was a problem, and I was already Christian. I didn't need to you know, get baptized again or whatever you need to do. And reading, studying the Bible, I love reading and studying the Bible. I hope everybody here loves to hear about the history and stuff. There's a lot of depth there that just when you think you've learned everything, you can read the Bible and find something else that's compelling or interesting or something that speaks to your life. And I didn't really question the existence of God. I had a pretty strong belief in God, even though no belief in God's 100% unless he shows up in some way that you just can't deny, you know. And even then you might think you were sick and having a hallucination or something. I got a little asterisk there, proof later in the presentation about the proof of God. So we're going to hopefully get to that. So I realized my prayer life needed an extreme makeover, and I was still praying like my mom taught me, nightly prayers, you know. Pray for Aunt Susie's goiter popped out and Uncle Joy's lumbago's problem. And yeah, this whole grocery list of stuff you pray, and your mom says, okay, it's time to pray. Let's pray for all the relatives and whoever. That's just, I don't know, that was the training. And my mom, when she thought I got the hang of it, she left me alone. And I still prayed like that, you know, daily as part of my meditations. It was kind of at night. Well, you know, as you go through life and you get into your adulthood, you get tired. You try to improve on that. And I still pray whenever I get the notion to pray. There's no right time to pray. But I just thought, you know, it's not honoring to God if you don't give him your best time of day. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that later. And I would just use as our text that the Bible says to draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. What a wonderful God. He's already in the business of sanctification. If you think God's resting on you or that, you know, nothing's happening in your life, God's wanting to improve you and to increase, you know, your knowledge and faith and do all that. And James goes on in the James kind of fashion. He's like, cleanse your hands and you sinners and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, we need to work on that as well. So a little bit more on that later. So we come to Christ. We say the salvation prayer. No surprise there. It's something like that. If you're not saved, I would say that's a good prayer to pray if you want to come to Christ. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. You may not have another day to pray this prayer. And hopefully today, you know, we talk about prayer. I hope I can entice you. Oh, man, you have audience with the creator of the world. How awesome is that? You know, Taylor Swift can't hold a candle to that. So anyway, that's... And the Bible tells us to pray. No surprise there. We also pray because we need stuff. And stuff we can't buy at the store necessarily. How many times does it happen? So God doesn't worry about us coming around for, you know, borrow some tools, get a loan. What do you have some of these friends that come around only when they need something or want to know something you know or whatever? God's not like that. He knows you need to pray. He's maybe, you know, expecting you, let's say. So there's no foolish prayers. You know, if you pray for your sick dog, if you really mean it and you're sincere about it, God cares to hear about your prayers that some other people, I don't know who they are, might think that your prayers are kind of silly and childish. But I don't think God thinks like that. He came to us as a human, but I think he's still a God. He's somebody who knows us. He created us. He knows where we're up to. He knows, you know, things that bother us. So, and pray without ceasing. Now, how do you drive down the road in a car and praying? I don't know how you do it, but I would just say that the Bible says pray without ceasing, rejoicing and giving thanks in all circumstances, of course. But I would say that everything in a Christian's life has the worldview perspective. And when you want to talk to God in prayer, you know, you've already kind of sussed things out in a kind of a spiritual kind of framework. And anyway, so part of your daily disciplines as a Christian, this sounds like a 101 class, huh? Reading your Bible in prayer, big surprise there, huh? Anybody surprised? So I'm going to talk about prayer, but reading your Bible really informs your prayer life. It energizes your prayer life. How can it not? And we're going to bring up some points here in the future here that you know, reading your Bible really can fuel your prayer. And we need to be doing these daily, even though we don't know if God's listening. Our prayers kind of bounce off the ceiling and ricochet around, you know, the room. You know, we need faith that God hears us. That's kind of our commandment. So we give up our prayers, and I'm going to offer you some tips here to kind of energize your prayer life. Hopefully, you know, you can make up your own. So this is where we're at. We're drilling down into the depths of prayer here. So you know, and to drift away from God, don't do anything. You know, God is waiting to hear from you. He's ready at your for you to call. He may be acting in, you know, in your sanctification, but if you just kind of ignore the things of God and do what you want, well, you know, God's not going to necessarily track you down and chase you. Although the parable of the lost sheep kind of gives me pause. You know, he may be waiting, you know, for some event down the road where he can cross out with you. When you're hanging off in the picture in Sunday school was the little deer hanging off a cliff in the briars, and down below is like some lion ready to eat the little lamb, and Jesus is reaching down there to pull the lamb off the ledge. You know, so I don't know how God works. He may have worked in my life at certain times. He may work in yours. We can't count that out. So here's some of the commands that would energize or speak to your Christian walk. And it also emphasizes reading your Bible. Keep your commandments. Well, what are those commandments? I don't know what the commandments are, but if you've read the Bible, you've got probably collected a few commandments, and they're not there to poop on your party, you know, and make your life kind of painful and dull. It's to kind of prevent you. It's like preventative medicine, you know, to know your commandments. And if you mess up, you know, ask for forgiveness. God's faithful, just, and loving enough to forgive our prayers. We can, that's the prayer that we know will always be honored by God, unless we kind of fall on some of these other points. We are to walk humbly, and the verse at the bottom says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Oh, man, I want some grace. I don't want to be face the hard face of God, you know, of all the bad things I've done. So improving our Christian life would be to adopt a humble life. And I would say be sensitive to the Spirit, be teachable. I'm glad you're here at church. You're here today to learn and to get knowledge. That's a wonderful thing. That's all part of submitting to God and being humble in His presence. Forgive everybody for any reason. Now, this is a tough one. It's easy to say, hard to do. But how do you know if God forgives us and then we don't forgive others? You know, God's this is a pretty strong prayer. I didn't put all the verses down in there, but God says if you're praying and you have something against your brother, to get up immediately and get it resolved. So this is a major point, you know. So how do we energize this forgiveness power? We think about Christ. He came down from heaven. He left His throne, as we've learned many times, you know, and He suffered and died. Wasn't that enough to inspire us to forgive people that offend us, you know? But I'm not naive. I know people, especially the ones that say they love you, do things against you. You could pray about it, of course, but you know, free yourself of that resentment and pain, I would say. Who are we praying with? Well, this the Bible suggests that we're praying to Abba Father, Daddy. You could pray to Dad. Awesome. You know, he's not, you know, we can imagine God is, and I guess rightfully so, sitting on some great golden throne up in heaven with clouds and little people strumming their little harps and singing and stuff. But we have a relationship with God. It's not creation to creator. We join God's family. We become His children. So it's child to parent. And I would say there's tons and tons of verses that would suggest things like that. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to pray to our Father in heaven. But He put all things under the feet of Jesus. I've heard it said that even though we pray to our Father, you can pray to Jesus too, because the members of the Trinity transfer information, I think, without even words. They're all on the same page. The Father and the Son, the Spirit, they don't need to talk to each other. It's just not automatically shared between them all, I believe. The Lord's Prayer starts with our Heavenly Father in heaven, highlighting the relationship value of God to us. So we have some more verses here about the kind of familial relationship with God. Wonderful thing. The Creator of the universe wants to have a familiar relationship with us. What a powerful thing. Doesn't that make you want to pray right now? You know, God is, maybe He's not what you've built Him up to be. So we thank God for His grace to us, that He kind of reaches down to provide for us for a familiar relationship. The model prayer is mentioned. I just got to touch on this as an instruction for prayer. It's a template prayer. We're not supposed to pray it like a rote prayer, like maybe some kind of Hindu prayer or something like that. But you can pray it. If you can't think of anything to pray, I would say pray the Lord's Prayer. It may kind of loosen the brain gears up there, and it kind of it touches on several things in the life of a Christian here that we've already kind of hit on already. It's kind of an outline, but there's some valuable lessons within the Lord's Prayer that we use to base our own prayers on. There's many examples in the Bible. I'll point out one that always gets me is Elisha. Who knows about the life of Elisha? I hope I got the right one. He called fire down from heaven. Boom! That would make you popular at barbecues and bonfires and things like that. Wouldn't you like to be called down fire from heaven? That'd be cool, but God's not in the business of fluffing up our pride. He's not in the business of fulfilling your prayers for Lamborghinis and trophy spouses and winning lottery tickets either. I'm sorry. As a Christian, I always say don't play the lottery at all. What cruel God would give you so much money it would destroy your life. But anyway, so there's some great examples of prayer in the Bible. Jesus prayed more than anybody. Go figure. What was all? He had a mission on earth and he accomplished it, and he did it with lots of prayers to his Heavenly Father. And it was probably an example to us too. So you know, when you read these prayers, they're not dry, dull, monotonous, aimless, and repetitious. And I don't think we need to settle for that ourselves. So there's some different kind of prayers. I just made these up off the top of my head. I'll mention two of them. The panic prayer. You're 1 second away from hitting the guardrail and crashing over the mount up here on your hiking trip, and you're about to fall to your death. You have 1 second to pray. What one word would you pray? One word prayer. What would it be?
Save me.
Yeah, save me.
Help.
Help? Okay, I was kind of steering towards the word of Jesus, which is going to reinforce my next point is, I hope you're not in the habit of saying the Lord's name in vain, because if you're 1 second away from death, you know, and you've said the Lord's name in vain, I don't know if God's going to honor your prayer. But it does say in the Bible, and this is more evidence about the powerful name of Jesus, is everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10. Isn't that wonderful? There's a lot of stories about this. I don't think you can say, Jesus, take the wheel. That's too long. You've already crashed by the time you pray the Carrie Underwood, you know, you're all familiar with the Carrie Underwood song, Jesus, take the wheel. You've already crashed. Sorry. And prayers before meals. I think we should get more mileage out of this one. Everybody prays before their meals. They're so happy. Oh, Lord God, thank you for this food on my plate. Amen. Well, is that all, you know, the extent of your prayer life? I think we can get a lot more mileage out of this one, especially for parents. I don't know if we have any. You guys are so young. I see a couple old fogies here that might take some hint here. You know, you can your children are listening to your prayers while they're sitting there salivating over the meals. You can get a lot more mileage out of that one for sure. You can pray a lot of things. And anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. Behind in my papers here. And I once had a Hindu coworker kept saying the name of the Lord in vain. And he was supposedly Hindu religious. And a lot of his coworkers told me about him. And one day he exclaims the name of the Lord in vain. And I said, oh, so you converted to Christianity. I heard you say the Lord's name in vain. Anyway, he gave me this funny look. You know, Hindus are quite scared of their gods, so he might have been in fear too. So he didn't do it anymore. I fixed that problem straight away. Although, you know, in a nice way, I don't think that would have scared him off. I hope not. Sometimes you know, I always think you could scare away telemarketers if they call you up and say, do you have window replacements yet? Do you have a car warranty? I would say, do you know the Lord? They're like, whoa, the script doesn't tell me what to say after that, so hang up. Oh, telemarketers fixed. So anyway, let's move on. Now, I really wanted to focus on this one. This is why the impetus for my story, Carter asked me to preach, and I had just gone through a phase in my Christian life where I started praying before in the morning. Now, I'm old now. I wake up kind of early. There, you know, got a lot of issues. And but I would go out and sit on the back deck, and I'd pray with my eyes open. I would look at nature. I'd look at the sky, the clouds, the trees, the leaves, the squirrels, cats, dogs, whatever. And nature, like the verse says here, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Well, doesn't his creation point to the Creator? And, you know, I would even pray, you know, kind of the animals that defy evolution. You know, there's a whole bunch of them. I hope you go home today and Google animals that defy evolution. There's a bunch of them. So nature, I pray a lot about this. I was going to tell you my proof of God is the skunk smell. You know, skunks have such a pungent smell. I just don't think how evolution can explain how they tweak their smell ever so cleverly, and they gave them the anatomy to deliver this powerful punch. And it's so powerful that skunks are the stand your ground animals. That's why they get run over so much. And they're giving us the proof of God in their smell. So, you know, you want to talk about the proof of God? I'm going to say, if you smelt a skunk. You guys are smart. I don't know, you may have some angles I don't know about, but the skunk to me has something that evolution can't explain. And there's other animals. So music hymns, you know, I heard some names of God in today's music. I would put Aiden on the spot. It's like, what names did you speak today in the Waymaker? You know, hey, God, you are the Waymaker. That's direct prayer. Praise, I would say, you know, in the lyrics, God's provisions, you know, for your, are you happy for your house and your car? And back to the nature, it's like, I would say, thank you, Lord, for the cow. I love me a steak. I hope there's no vegetarians end up in here. Right? What do you pray for? Pray for ice cream, you know, thank God for ice cream or any of that stuff. That's fun. You know, God created all that. He gave us taste buds. So that's a wonderful indication. So I'm going long. Carter said you're going to go long. So I hope you can. There's something of redeemable value in this talk. Names of Jesus, there's 100 of them. Google them. Use your spiritual tool, Google. Pray these to God. There are attributes of God. They tell us what God is like. We pray them, and you know, I think he's up there saying, oh, so-and-so's praying about me being a provider, comforter, creator. Oh, man, who is down there praying about me? Saying all this stuff about me. You know, I think these are affirming, and we need to be reinforcing, affirming, meditating on these things. I even meditated on them, you know, laying it in the bed at night. I don't pray anymore at night because I'll just fall asleep. And that's, I don't want to be embarrassed. God honoring by falling asleep during a prayer like I used to do. How embarrassing. So anyway, I hope you can absorb some of those real quick. We're going to get through there. Again, go home and Google, why does the woodpecker not faint and fall out on the ground when he's woodpecking? We should be able to walk in the woods and see all the woodpeckers laying on the ground. Oh, but there's something to this. The giraffe has a special anatomy that keeps the blood up in his brain. The giraffe should be fainting all over the zoos, everywhere. The bombardier beetle, that's one that's very complicated. And there's my favorite today. Why does the skunk smell so bad? Because God created him to be smelly. And I look at creation when I pray and say, God, you're going to create in my life something as equally wonderful as you created for these animals. All the stuff in nature that speaks your name, You're gonna do that for me. So that's my prayer. So we're getting close to the end. Don't worry. This is the prayer before dinner. While it's salivating, your grandfather's gonna do a filibuster prayer for 2 hours at Thanksgiving. So this is good practice for Thanksgiving. So The Bible says we can ask boldly things. We don't have to be timid and scared. He knows us, and he's made a way for us to make our requests known. The Spirit is our comforter who came after Jesus. We don't hear about the Spirit much. I grew up, we talked about the Spirit all the time. So I was in a different denomination, which will be nameless. But we had the Spirit, and God makes prayer requests known to us. He intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray. Far out. Wonderful. So that's the verse there, that God, the Spirit himself, intercedes for us. So God's helping us on both sides of the equation here. He's helping us with the Spirit on one end, and on the other end, he's giving us lots of information through his Bible that we kind of store away in our brains. So expecting a response, I'll say God doesn't always respond in real time. His answer might be yes, it might be not yet, it might be no. But his answer is always, my grace is sufficient for you. So we always have this assurance that God is, whatever happens to us, he's going to help us out with whatever situation we fall into or get ourselves into. Just wrapping up here, we need to deal with unforgiveness. I mentioned that before, unconfessed sin, and foolish motives. And we mentioned some of those: sports cars and trophy spouses. You probably shouldn't, and win lottery tickets. You probably shouldn't ask for those. So, anyway, that was my little deep dive into prayer. There's some summary points here. Don't worry, pray with faith and trust, and God loves you and wants to spend time with you. So pray that lingering, unhurried prayer with God. Just soak up in his presence. And that's it. That's all I have to say. That's the end. So I hope you're encouraged to pray. Go home today and think of all these points and know that God loves you and wants to hear from you. So anyway.